So this morning, I'd like to invite you all to consider this text that we've just heard read for us from 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 16 through chapter 5, verse 10. It might seem like an unusual text for a day when we are celebrating new life of parents and children and remembering mothers as well. But you know, all of God's Word is relevant, and I believe that there are some things about life that we can learn in this passage and can be applied to our present lives as family members and in our homes and while we wait for what is to come. So bear with me. We'll see where this takes us today. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and he did mention in chapter 4 the spiritual conflict that is going on in our world. He mentioned that the source of our spiritual power is found in the truth that Jesus Christ is the Lord, sent by God to be our Savior. He reminds us that although God's light and power is available to every believer, we are like jars of clay. And we heard John tell the story, read the reading about the creation of a mom. And it was just a fictional reading, but and about the tear and this sense of we are like jars of clay. There is a fragility about us, sir, that we are vulnerable in different ways. And out of that reality, we can realize that any success and power that we experience in our lives comes from God and not from us. You know, Paul and his team had experienced hardships and persecution, but they did not lose sight of the goal of passing on the message of Jesus to others and the eternal and living hope of resurrection. I'd like you to consider the testimony of Paul in verses 16 to 18 as we begin. Paul says in verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Let's stop there for a moment. This is Paul's testimony of God's faithfulness and power at work in his life as he pressed on in difficult service for the Lord. And Paul recognized that the challenges they had experienced were part of a bigger picture. He knew that God was not surprised by the light and momentary troubles that we face in the present. They may not seem so light to us, but in comparison to the things that God has in store for those who love him, they are temporary. In verse 18, Paul wrote about a choice that he made on a daily basis. "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." You know, we have to deal with the things that we see and handle and touch every day, but our value and our security is not found in a list of possessions. Can I see it? Can I hold it? Do I own it? Do I brag about it? Do I find status because of it? You know, it'd be good for us to remember that what is seen is temporary. We have it for here and we have it for now. What is unseen is eternal. Spiritually, our eyes need to be looking beyond the things we deal with. The writer of Hebrews wrote something similar about our present life and where we focus. He said this, and I'll just read it for you from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Fix our eyes on Jesus. Are you a weary and discouraged Christian today? Either as a mother, as a father, as a volunteer, as a son or daughter with duties of care. The Lord says that we should keep our eyes fixed on eternal things while we live in the present. We have to be practical. One of my profs years ago used to say, "Some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good." We need to be practical, but we need to also be aware of the bigger picture. Paul illustrates that for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. And we have an example of the temporary and the eternal. And I will confess to you at this point, as I was studying, I wondered about sharing from this passage today. To do or not to do? That is the question. Because Paul is illustrating a principle from chapter 4 that he's just stated. But now the illustration he uses is how our body wears out, and as followers of Jesus, we will have a new body one day. Was he announcing a new subject, or was he carrying on with the theme of the text? I believe it's an illustration, so bear with me. I've used this text for funerals before. I've never used it for Mother's Day. But I did find insight for our present living as well in the text. It might be helpful to know that Paul had a vocational background. In other words, as a tent maker, we know that he was a well-educated missionary, speaker, evangelist, and apostle. That was his later career, if you like. But it was the custom of every Jewish man to be taught a trade so that they could provide for themselves. One rabbi wrote, and this is a quote, "He who does not teach his son a trade is much the same as if he taught him to be a thief." Maybe I'll just read that again, just for your hearing. "He who does not teach his son a trade," it could include a daughter, "is much the same as if he taught him to be a thief." And it did make me wonder as I pondered these things about how do we pass on marketable skills to our children as they prepare for their adult life. It's not about dollars. It's about ability to participate in the community and in life around us. How do we pass on skills to them that will make them useful and valuable, either in their own employment or in serving in a larger way in society around us? It's important to pass on knowledge, but the knowledge needs to include some practical elements as we go forward. It's a challenge to us as in our homes. It's a challenge to us as we work with preparing children for adult life. We understand that Jesus had a trade. His father had been what? A carpenter. And if you read in the teachings of Jesus, you will find some interesting references to a knowledge of carpentry. You know, we have evidence that Paul earned income as a tent maker during some of his time of service as an apostle when he lived with Priscilla and Aquila. He probably learned this skill from his father. It would have been helpful for necessary income along the way for Paul, certainly. And maybe it also provided some time for creative expression outside of the responsibilities of his work as an apostle. I mention this because we read in chapter 5 Paul's illustration of the physical body being like a tent. Paul is illustrating the temporary and the eternal, and he says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." As followers of Christ, we know that we will have a new body one day, but Paul writes in verses 2 to 4 here that we find ourselves groaning of some of our present burdens, and that they would include physical and emotional. Would that be true for you? Would it be true for me? Verse 2, "Meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked." And naked here is simply a reference to being exposed and vulnerable. "For while we are in this tent," he says, "we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal," in other words, our present life, "may be swallowed up by life." We may use other words to describe or not use words to describe, but in our inner spirit, sometimes we all have times when we groan. Times we wish for less pain. Times we wish for less inconvenience. And if we would be brutally honest, times we wish the Lord would just call us home. We are not ungrateful to God, but we find ourselves tired in our present circumstances. Maybe that describes you today. If it doesn't describe you today, it will describe you another day. So, is there any encouragement and comfort for us in this text today as travelers in this present life? People who love Jesus and we're looking forward to the day when the eternal things we've been told about will be realized. Well, Paul does identify hope for our present living, and aren't you glad? In verses 5 to 10, not only the hope of eternity, but hope for the present. The first thing to note here would be that in verses 5 to 10, the first reason for hope in our present life experience is our relationship with God. We understand and believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He's provided a way for us to experience forgiveness and hope and courage in this life. He has also told us that beyond this life, we will be with Him one day, but in the meantime, He has not forgotten us. See verse 5? Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose, that is both the present life and the eternal future, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, or is God, rather, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You know, we may be getting ready for our eternal home, but it's a wonderful thing to know that God gives His Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, to live in every believer. He is present with us and He helps us to navigate through this life. Jesus said that when He went to the Father, He would send the Spirit to live with us and in us. And Jesus said that He would not leave us as orphans, and He did not do so. Take time to read the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16. You can read more about what Jesus said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. You know, God gives us His Spirit, and the Spirit lives within every believer. The Spirit is given as a pledge or deposit, guaranteeing what God meant when He said about our eternal future home, and He will help us to walk and live and survive the present challenges on the way to the day when this old tent, our body, wears out and we go to be with Him. One of the results of this knowledge of God's Spirit living in us is that we can have confidence for every day on this earth. I didn't say overconfidence, but we can have confidence for every day. Look at verses 6 and verse 8. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So he speaks of having confidence. And I want you to see a graphic here. There's a nice picture of the first reason for our hope is our present life experience. And the second reason is the knowledge of God's Spirit living in us. Here's our friend for the morning here. Help me to remember, Lord, that nothing is going to happen today that you and I can't handle together. You've seen some cute version of this before. Maybe if you need a copy of it, you should find one somewhere. Put it in a prominent place in your home to help you remember as you're starting your day. There's nothing that is going to happen today that you and I can't handle together. Well, sometimes people like to quote Philippians 4:13. They'll say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And, you know, it is in the Bible, and it is true. But some people, seem to apply it in other ways, and they think that maybe it means Jesus will help them to be super achievers. Maybe, Mom, sometimes you kind of try to psych yourself up at home. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's true, but let's read it in context. I'd like to read for you from Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. You're welcome to turn there if you wish. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And it's out of that context, trusting God when he has plenty, trusting God when he had little. He said, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Maybe you find yourself and your family facing new situations that you had not expected. We can have confidence that with God's help, we can face the times of plenty and ease and the times of need and uncertainty. You know, back in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says that the reason we can be confident in these present realities is that we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. Sometimes in our world today, people use the word faith in a lot of fuzzy ways. They may want to deny the reality that God is, but they're still looking for something to have faith in, especially in a time of crisis. So they put their faith in science or in government or some untested theory or faith in themselves. And when I hear people in times of crisis say, hey, have faith, I think, faith in what? If we are not aware that God is and that he loves and cares for us, what is your faith placed in? The reason that we can get up in the morning and look forward to the day and the duties that will be ours is not that we have faith in us or that we've taken the latest course on management or being achievers. We have a reason to get up in the morning and face the day because the Lord has given us a sense of purpose in this present, and he's also encouraged us to have eyes on eternity. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Not on what is temporary, but what is eternal. God gives us a purpose to live each day faithfully, to invest in loving ways in the people around us, and to grow better, not bitter. You know, for those who are parents, God entrusts children to your care so that you can pass on to them that awareness that God invites us to live wisely in the present, which is temporary, and to have eyes for the unseen and eternal that he's told us about in the Bible. God gives us confidence, and we need to face today's challenges with a very real presence of his Holy Spirit in every believer. Just be aware that we have that presence of his Holy Spirit in every believer to give us comfort and hope and understanding and calm and peace. A new question, relatively new question, I've been learning to appreciate is the one that's on your screen now. And came out of ongoing discussion with a friend of mine about certain matters that were being faced in his situation. And one day he said that I had told him this question, and I didn't remember being the one who had inspired the moment. But here was the question, something like this. Am I seeing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit at work in this present moment? When he found Christians in disagreement, he was looking to say, where is the fruit of God's Spirit showing up in this situation? God's Spirit lives in our lives as believers. Maybe I'll just briefly review for you from Galatians 5. There are instructions about living in freedom as believers in the power of God's Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 21 talks about the inner conflict we may have and the ugliness of sinful attitudes that are not inspired by God's Spirit. But then in 22 to 26, we read these words, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. In other words, the sinful things that would control us. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. You know, we would all be honest and say that some days seem plain, ugly, painful, and difficult. Is that honest? to describe where you've been sometimes, maybe even where you live today. The hardest part is when it's the human pain of relationships that aren't working. But we also struggle with our aging and later our failing bodies, and we may have a loss of hope and a loss of perspective. We look in the mirror and we may not like what we see. I want to encourage you today. I've got 5 points here. I want you to see and I want you to understand. And that would be that what is seen is temporary. What is seen is temporary. Today's challenges are just for this moment, and God will graciously walk with us through them. What is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. And maybe that's where some of our friends fail, because they don't even understand there are unseen things. We also believe that God, we believe what God has told us about the future. We do not have to doubt the character of God. Shared with the discipleship class earlier this morning that our lack of understanding does not bring into question the character of God. We trust Him. Fourth point, we are or can be comforted and strengthened by God's Spirit at work in our life. And lastly, we can be confident when we live by faith. That is trusting God, and not just by sight. What the bank account says, or what the newspaper says, or what the radio says, or what the television says, or what we think we saw. As a result, we can say with Paul in verse 9, we make it our goal to please Him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it. We make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. What is your goal for this day? Just to survive? Just to get through it? You know, I'm sure you have a very good goal to honor moms and all of that stuff. But what is your goal in the big picture for each day? Do you have a sense of mission and purpose? You know, early this year, one of my friends died, and I was touched when it was reported to me that a certain document had been found in his office, and it all made sense. It fit, it described the person we knew. And as I thought about what I had known of him and what had been found in his office, I sat down and I wrote a personal mission statement. Maybe I've shared it with you before. My wife thinks I did. If I did, I'm doing it again. A personal mission statement. You may have your own way of wanting to write this. Maybe you don't need it, but I actually have written it. I've made it a visual that appears on my wall in my office, in my preparation area, and also in my study at home. And this is what it says. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am determined to make a constructive and positive difference where I live, work, and go today. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am determined to make a constructive and positive difference where I live, work, and go today. You may have a different way of describing that desire of your heart before God. Maybe you don't need the visuals, but I always find it helpful. So mine has a picture on it. But I would like to encourage you today to make it your goal to please the Lord in every act and conversation that is part of your journey today and each day. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 9 might seem like a funeral text, but it actually speaks of embracing life. Embracing life here with faithfulness and in the power of God's Holy Spirit, while we anticipate the day when God will take us home to be with Him. There is one final thought in verse 10 that I need to acknowledge, and I will. It may be sobering, but it does not have to scare us. One day you and I will be required to speak with the Lord about the things that we have done as managers of the life God has given to us here. We are not talking about a pass or fail for entry into heaven. We have all those jokes about Peter deciding at the gate whether people can get in or not. That's not the discussion here. Those outside of Christ will have a different judgment. But Paul wrote to the believer, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." You know, God always speaks the truth, and in this text we have been reminded that God will walk with us through the present, giving us the tools to do we need to do the job here, and he wants us to look forward to the eternal future. And he will lovingly and fairly review with us the important parts of our journey here. In preparation for all that awaits for us in God's presence, I want to encourage you today, no matter what title and roles you have, to remember that what is seen is temporary. Remember that next time there's a mess on the floor. Remember that next time the car doesn't work. Remember that the next time you have some unexpected mail or phone call. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Therefore, we want to live in the power of God's Holy Spirit as we face the responsibilities of each day in our lives. We do not want to just survive through this period, although that sometimes it seems like that's all we can hope for. Let's be energized by God's power to make a difference where we live, where we work, and where we go today and each day. And then one day the Lord can say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments together to try and glean a few things from the text that apply to us and our different roles in life. I do pray for the moms who are here today. Thank you for them and for the investment that they have made in the lives of their homes, their families, their husbands and children. Thank you for the parents who prepared us for being parents. Thank you for the ways that we can bless and invest in others as aunts and uncles and as friends of families also. I pray that we would know your strength, your wisdom, your presence in our lives. We would recognize as born-again believers how important it is to walk in step with you, to recognize that the things that sometimes overwhelm us here are not unknown to you, and you want to walk with us through them. We do look forward to the day we'll go to live with you and be with you forever, but we ask that you would help us to be faithful in our present place and time, and that you would be honored in and through our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name.